This is the Aftermarket Radio Network. Hey, Carm here. Well, as we all know, the year is nearing its completion and the Yuletide season is just around the corner. Plus, COVID continues its rampage and the vaccine is here. That's good news. Lots going on. My friend Greg Buckley joins me in this episode, and he brought one of his way out of the box thinks to the podcast. This episode has an octopus analogy sliced in for good measure. Greg makes up excellent points that will help you and your business grow. Now, have you seen a copy of the National Geographic lately? Have I teased you enough? Thanks for always tuning in and listening to the Aftermarket's original and premier podcast. This is another example of the power of the voices, ideas, and insights that you've come accustomed to hearing. Now, so many great replies that are coming in from our survey at remarkableresults.biz/survey. You say that you enjoy the diversity we offer in topics and coverage of our beloved Aftermarket, and thanks for taking the survey. Hey, I want to thank Napa Smart Sign for supporting this episode. Now, due to the current restrictions in place in Las Vegas, international and domestic travel constraints, the rising cases of COVID-19, Napa's made a proactive decision to reschedule the Napa Expo. We remain committed to our attendees and exhibitors to provide a valuable and productive in-person experience at the proper time. Now, for now, Napa believes that this is the right move for all involved, and we'll use this time to make new plans to bring you helpful and powerful content. We look forward to hosting you when we can do it safely. Hey, never miss one shop tour we present each week on the show, AftermarketWeekly.com. Of course, you're busy, so you can't watch all of the live virtual tours. Don't fret. AftermarketWeekly.com is there on the website, all the episodes. And now Aftermarket Weekly is a podcast. Yep. Find it on your favorite listening app. And now you can listen to that show while you are mobile. The talking points for this episode and a link to Greg Buckley's previous episodes can be found at remarkableresults.biz/E597. Hey, a warm welcome to my friend Greg Buckley. Hey, Greg.
Hey, Carm. How are you, bud?
I'm great, man. Buckley's Auto Care, Wilmington, Delaware. I just saw you do a post on one of my shows on all the associations that you belong to. ASA, Milwaukee, TST. What else? What am I missing?
DASP, Napa BDG, the guys from Maryland, WMDA. That's on the industry side. Then there's the Newcastle County Chamber of Commerce, those groups, your local groups. So Town of Newport, I sit on the board for that. I like to be able to support. And that was a great show you had with everybody.
And thank you for hanging out and encouraging the dialogue. And I'm not ready to go over the whole association thing, but the fact of the matter is it's important. And I wanted to bring it up, because I think more people may listen to this than grab onto the Carmcast. And just for just a moment, just remind people that so much of the success that we've had in our industry has been because people have embraced networking, peer groups, and associations. And, you know, if it wasn't for associations years ago, I don't know what kind of training we would have or where the evolution of it would be that we have today. This industry is essential. And it's vibrant to the degree that people continue to make it vibrant.
Without associations and what they formed around was a common goal. You know, it was representation. It was make sure that I just get heard. That's still relevant today. If not, it's more important because there's such a cacophony of things going on around us. There's noise everywhere. You know, as independents, we don't have time in our own little worlds to actually get engaged. A lot of times, whether it's from the local levels and, of course, to the national level. So the associations, their role is to, you know, bring this together. And it's incredibly important. I know, and every major organization out there is fighting for the same thing. It's really for respect, understanding, and even now training. And I'll tell you, Carm, that show you had about the associations, I mean, there's one thing that came through loud and clear is that I think there's a whole new level of respect because, like, you know, the PAVE group is now getting together and training with everyone that I said I represent or that I joined. their training platform's now virtual. But if you pull my guys right now, they came back last night from watching Jerry G put up his lab scope work, and they came back. You know, it was great. Sit and eat dinner and learn at the same time. Man, that's a hard combo to beat.
Hey, that reminds me of college. It was 9 o'clock at the fraternity house, and the guys would say, "Hey, I know they're yelling up and down the hall. I know you're all studying really hard. I'm going to the sub shop." And so, you know about that 20-pound gainer at college that you get? Well, it happened to me. We were studying, reading, doing whatever we had to do, and eating a sub a night. After dinner. I mean, this is after dinner. Anyway, I'm sorry. My mind, when I get together with you, my mind rambles. And, you know, you just click on something. I'm eating dinner, watching G. Trulia, and all of a sudden right. I have to think of eating a sub at college. Wow, how'd that work?
It's Italian. So
I know. And you're going to be on the 600th episode. I'm not sure when this is going to release. Thank you for doing that. It's a huge milestone. And you were with me in the early days, and we're not here to talk about that, but I just wanted to pay a little homage to you on a one-on-one basis. And I actually went on the website and I counted the number of episodes you've been with me, and I'll give that later on in the show. You've been always such a great giver, and you know, if industry wise, and what I do for the industry, and I'll tell everyone in a minute. But here's the reason you're on, everyone. There's this really cool little story that you have to understand. Greg tells me he's with Chris Clodier, and Chris went up to Greg and says, "So what kind of books do you read to be inspired about business acumen and leadership?" And Greg says,
National Geographic. And poor Chris gave that look on his face like, what the hell? You know, and I think what's fair is that we back up to the first episode of this show, where I explained about deep thinking and critical thinking and all that stuff. I always believe that your critical thinking helps with creative thinking. And I gave the example of just walking and seeing the Nissan headquarters and the logo and the branding faces east, due east directly, because I was out walking, I found it, and boom, a homage to their homeland. Reading National Geographic, I've always found, and to the audience right now, I'll probably confirm a few things that, you know, maybe mentally I'm not there, but anyway.
Please don't say that, because you and I are so similar, and I never, you know, back when we were talking about critical think, I didn't really realize for me that what I do is critical think. I call it deep think, okay? I don't care, whatever you want to call it. And one of my Clifton strengths is ideation. I can't stop. They just boom, boom, they fire off. If it wasn't my job to listen and speak only 10% of the time, and I know I'm breaking that rule with you, I would be offering so many ideas to people as they share their stories with me. And I would say, did you ever think of this? Did you ever think of that? But I love the concept of going off structure to get impressed or motivated, like with National Geographic.
Yeah. The really true reason is because I love communicating. Falls into, I love marketing, and I love people understanding what the object in front of them is about. So if I say to you, what's a CV shaft? I think on the other side, I said, Carm described a CV shaft. And I used to do this in class, and people would give me the whole technical BS about it, right? Oh, it's a piece of metal, blah, 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 and all the technical stuff that went with it. And I go, how about if you hold up your arm, look at your wrist, look at your elbow. Now, swirl your hand around, all right? All right, if the joint's good, it's not going to make a noise. If you got arthritis, it's going to make a noise. You got a bad CV shaft. Can you understand that, Mr. and Mrs. Consumer? They get it. Boom, done. So in the context of communication, understanding, you know, a lot about everything is important, because you got to be relatable. And the only way to be relatable is to understand how to communicate with the person across the counter from you. So when I say to you that I read National Geographic, I may be able to understand, well, how does a pride of lions hunt? What is its tactics versus how do hyenas hunt? And there's different tactics, and it goes all the way back to, okay, I follow, you know, and I look at a lot of generals and military operations on how they succeeded, not what they conquered, but how they conquered, right? What they did. So, and a lot of us do read military situations, because I really had to think about this, but that's how it's been translated to us. So what nature has produced, we come along and we discover and we put in our own context. We have to translate it. That's how we learn. It's, you know, the written word. We started off by scribbling in dirt, then on walls, and then paper, and now digital. And so anyway, National Geographic to me is the essence of learning the root of how things are generated, how thought is generated in a certain situation. I hope I'm making sense, but anyway.
Hey, Carm here, and coming up, Greg Buckley wants you to observe customer body language. Hey, it's Carm here with news about the new Napa Smart Sign, previously known as the digital menu board. I like to think of it like a silent salesman on a TV near your service desk. It's an easy way for you to increase customer awareness of your current promotions and educate them about needed repairs and service. In other words, having a Napa Smart Sign will supercharge your sales. Napa Auto Care tests have shown 1 out of 5 consumers ask for a repair or service they've seen on the board, and targeted promotions resulted in double-digit increases. One Auto Care shop owner said, "I've received amazing feedback. Customers are actually asking for additional services they see on the screen." Now that's what I call getting results. You choose the content for your Napa Smart Sign from a library of auto care services and repair topics. The Smart Sign comes with preloaded content. Just about anything you can think of is available, from alternators and alignment to wiper blades and wheel bearings. There are over 150 topics to choose from. Templates can be customized with your location branding for a professional look. Some of the options include customer reviews from Kukui, DemandForce, or MechanicNet, live news, and even the weather. Whatever content you choose, it's preloaded for you. Just as important, it's easy to change your services, prices, and video content anytime you'd like. Plus, the latest Napa national promotions are downloaded to you automatically. Of course, having a Napa Smart Sign gives your auto care center a professional, state-of-the-art look and feel that tells customers, "I'm on top of my game." Now, that builds trust, which means recommendations are accepted more readily and customers spend more. Find out more about what Napa Smart Sign can do for your business. Talk with your servicing Napa store owner to find out more about the Smart Sign and all the other reasons to become part of the Napa Auto Care family, the largest network of independent repair shops in the country. Here's what I'm taking away. Go off structure. You've got to be able to learn. If you're going to invest time with any resource, please walk away with one thing. I mean, that's my whole big thing. Listen to learn just one thing. But Greg, let me just share with you. You inspired me to say that I do love to read books. I'm a vehement note taker from them. And not only do I take the notes in the front jacket covers of the books of passages that I want to remember, pages, I also have my own Carm, you got to do this stuff, or an inspiration, an idea, because I'm reading something and I'm reading something in Venus and it takes me to Mars. You see, and I'm watching a movie, and it may just be the way it was filmed or shot or something in the background or how it was done. Because, of course, now we're into video in podcasting, and there's a lot going on in the world, my world, but in the world of podcasting. How could we make it always better? And then I love to watch documentaries because there's a lot to learn from them. It's very much Nat Geo, if you will, any documentary.
Yes, it really is. When you're able to open yourself up and look and observe from other avenues, it doesn't have to be books. You can simply get inspiration and understanding from different areas that are always part of your environment, but maybe you don't recognize them. Well, the trick is to recognize them and see what value they can play within the confines of your business structure and also your personal development. Yeah, and I think that it's really key, because I go back to communication. That's how we advance ourselves, is knowing what to do and with other people. I can take a common denominator like the animal kingdom, because everybody has grown up loving puppies and cats and dogs and lions and going to the zoo and kind of getting around, seeing what they're like. I've had pets all my life, and we had 7 of them at one time. They were born in the house. And we've raised them since birth. We were working with an adoption agency, and we decided to take the pregnant cat in, and we were going to adopt them, gave it all back. But the two kids being the age they were, like, what cat are you going to give up when that's going to crush the kids? So I just said, the heck with it. We kept them all, raised them. And when he said you can herd cats, yeah, I heard would come greet me at the door. That's training. The same thing you do with your crew.
So I now know something new about Greg Buckley. He's a cat guy. He's got a big heart for that. And they had a litter of seven. And why? So here's the thing. Our old cat, Rex. Sorry, audience. We're going to go through this little story. But every once in a while, people say, we'd love to learn more about what's going on in your world, in your life, Carm. So this little tiny kitten's up on the hill near our garage. And I kind of said, and the cat came down off the hill to the driveway, and the cutest little almost all white cat, male cat. And I, at that time, I think there were four or five of them in the house. And I said to Ann, put him in the spare garage, put a little cage up there. We'll take him to the 10 Lives Club, which Ann continues to volunteer every week at. So I lost, she won, cat went in the house. And so, yeah. And guess who's vehemently allergic to cats? Me. But I went through years of allergy shots. I'm over them now. And I believe that the cats have given me the antigens to fight it.
They probably have, you know, amongst other things, but
who would have thought? But anyway, you're doing that, Gio, and you're getting all this input. Anything that you say, wow, that really had an impact on a marketing thing that I did?
Outside of a few others, you know, on how to herd, or like I said, how to hunt and that kind of thing. But one of the biggest takeaways, and it was really strange, because I'm going through the stories and I read about the octopus. And I go, okay, I've always been fascinated with octopus. I mean, everybody, they're one of the most intelligent creatures on Earth, if not probably, they're really high up in the chain. The number of octopus is decreasing because, you know, they're smart, they can hunt, they can do everything. And hey, let's face it, man, they taste very good fried with a bowl of marinara and a glass of Chianti. But one of the fascinating things about it is their neurological makeup. And I said, wow. I said, what makes them so smart? Everybody used to think that they were top side down thinkers like we are. You know, everything is commanded up in the head and your extremities will produce a signal that goes up in the brain controls. Well, come to find out that each arm or tentacle of an octopus is almost independent of itself. And its unique neurological makeup actually is similar from what I'm deciphering here. It's similar to almost like a CAN network, where we have independent modules that are actually regulating the part it needs to control, with the brain, the primary PCM, really only acknowledging a signal that is back and forth. So instantly I go, wow, okay, well, there is a good analogy to offer a client that says, well, when the time comes when I have to install that part and I have to program it into the network, now I can understand. Now I can go to them and go, you know what? Think of an octopus. You know, every little tentacle has its own means of operations, and it's not focused on the main brain. That's it. It can stay on its own. And even if you cut it off and regrows, that arm or that tentacle is now the same as it was before. Each little feeler can feel what it's doing. It can crawl along. It can make its own conscious decision. So I know that sounds strange, but these are some of the things that you kind of open yourself up to. And there's probably a bunch of people that are really thinking now that Buckley has completely lost his mind.
I love the analogy. Please accept that in your mind, because as you described the elbow and the joint, right, the wrist and the joint, as to how a CV would act in having someone appreciate that. How about we are the regeneration shop? I mean, anything that goes bad, no different than an octopus's, you know, arm. They're called tentacles, right? If they go bad, they can fix them. And like us, all these things that work independently yet come up to the singular brain that makes this vehicle run, we can regenerate that for you.
Sure. Yeah, we can take care of it. That's an octopus's garden.
I saw a documentary on an octopus. And a diver Who did you? I don't know if you ever saw that one. He spent like two and a half years. You know, he almost gave up all the things that he was doing and lived in this particular rough area. And I can't remember what part of the world it was. And he'd go into the water almost every day and hang with this octopus. And it was very, very sad because at the end of the show, the octopus didn't make it, but he became so close to this octopus and the things that they ended up doing together. It's an amazing creature.
Yeah, they really are. And they actually don't have a very long lifespan. I can't remember, but it's not, I don't think it exceeds 3 years in most common ones because they reproduce and then that's about it. Once they reproduce, I think they pretty much extinguish themselves. But they're a fascinating creature, just like all the others in the animal kingdom. The signals that they use to communicate with one another. Carm, I tell you the truth, man. I know this is even crazier, but I have read articles on how trees communicate with one another, which is fascinating in a sense, through the root systems. It all goes back to just my desire to make sure that I am capable of communicating as well as possible, and I'm able to relate to a person that I need to talk to their car about, or I need to talk to my team about. It really gives me a super upper hand in knowing the thought of the other person. And I believe that that is a competitive advantage. And especially when we're talking about negotiations, because everything we do is negotiable, right? I mean, I don't care what it is, it's negotiations, right? So I always want to be able to have that upper hand. I may not win all the battles, but I want to be able to say, hey, look, 90% of the time, at least I know what you're thinking. I may turn around and agree with you and work your way, but in most contexts, I'm going to understand you and you're going to be able to understand me. Where we go from there, that's where we'll end up. But learning all of these ways of talking, or that's not the talking, communicating, body language, understanding what the body language is. I try my best, and this is almost impossible, but I try to tell my two service advisors, I go, the first time a customer walks through the door, I go, you really need to look at their body language from the time they get, if you can observe them getting out of their car, walk in the door, watch them express themselves to you initially. And all that stuff happens in seconds. But if you are aware of it all and you understand and you are confident, you'll be able to control the conversation almost immediately. You'll know the nuances that will get you success or failure. You know, so again, it's the way that I deep dive. I have always done this. I just enjoy really studying all of the little things that, you know, people will do. And I refer back to the animal kingdom because that's what, you know, I'm talking about here today. It's just a different way of making sure your level of communication is very high end and that you and your team can have that interaction respectfully.
Learning from sources in National Geographic is a hell of a source. You know, the best pictures, probably photojournalism in the world, that you can actually look at something and be inspired just by looking at a sunset that a photographer took of a land that we may never see in our life, and have the ability to put yourself in that picture and just go away with it. That's a stress buster right there.
Oh, absolutely. And you remember the picture? Remember the picture of the award-winning journalist who took a picture of that Indian woman who with the deep blue eye? Oh, my God. You kidding me?
It's a mysterious picture because it says so much. It says so much. But and then being able to come in and apply what, not necessarily what you learned, but what you felt about what you learned. You know, Disney, I've been to the Disney Institute, and I've told this story on the podcast before. It's probably time to spend a minute and tell you it. We were with the company that I was with, and we were there to build the vision, the values, the whole overlying arching, reinvent the strategic plan in the company. And, you know, Disney helps you do that. And Disney got up and says, hey, listen, we needed to come up with a brand new customer service creed, if you will, something that top of mind people would play and practice every time they were on stage. And days worth of this, all sticky notes everywhere. And they came out with this: look them in the eye and smile. And you describe that to me, the customers coming in the door. And, you know, if there's anything anyone can learn from this discussion, it's the passion of Greg. And, you know, maybe this is the How to Communicate podcast that started out with Nat Geo and the Octopus. You know, I love the way you and I could thread stuff together. It's so cool. But look him in the eye and smile. And who says that you don't need to have that pasted on the back of every CRT in the shop?
Yeah. I mean, like I said, these are things that you can practice, but you really have to be open to that. And you have to reach that point. I mean, like you said at the top of the show, and I agree with you, is that you start getting into your own conversations in your own when talking with somebody because you're starting to get it and you're going and moving and moving. That's what happens when you start thinking, you know, I say critically or you say deep think, but your level of conversations go like right on up. And I think it's fascinating what you can reach and understand.
I love what you say. Clarity of communications. You want to win-win, but you want to be in charge. You need to have the right words, the right passion. You know, body language has a lot to do with being able to sell and get what you want.
And you have to be able to hear too. You have to be able to listen. I mean, we are born with some amazing senses, right? But we fail to really take advantage of them. We just we don't observe enough. We certainly don't listen enough, and we speak more than we listen. So if we took advantage of, like I've always said, four things that we're born with that we don't use enough on, that's our two eyes and our two ears.
Amazing. As parents, we have the responsibility to teach our children how to listen because they don't teach that in school. Now, I do believe that when you get into an MBA program and you start doing all that MBA strategic planning stuff and finance and all that stuff, there's communication courses in there. Because if you're going to go out and be an effective leader and you've got your MBA, they expect you to be doctorish, if you will, you know, highly respected. You have to learn how to be a great listener. And confirm, clarify, and not listen to reply, but listen to learn.
I think the main purpose is don't be afraid to look in different directions to learn from. You can learn once you get into the mode of learning and thinking, it becomes habitual and start to pick up cues. Let me finish with this. And this was just last week. Good friends of mine. I come from a very tight knit group of friends in our that we went to high school with. We're like a band of brothers and sisters. I mean, there's no joke. It's a very, very cool, awesome feeling. Anyway, one of our dear classmates passed away. We had a memorial service for him on Saturday. So during the eulogy, you know, the pastor gets up and he starts talking about his friends trying to relate to us because our class is there. I mean, we had like 50 or 60 class members. This is class of 78 now. So we're still tight. So he's trying to, you know, relate to us. And he goes, I'll never be you. You'll never be me. But let me give you a situation that maybe you could be related to. So he's seeing how him and his friends were recently together. He was talking about all of the people that he used to look up to. You know, they're all their heroes or friends and all this stuff. He said, but they're all gone. They've passed away. And they looked around and they said, well, God, they were giants. So who's the giant now? And they all went to one and they go, we're the giants. We've crossed that over to say, we're the giants. The past is now the present. We're that. And afterwards, I took that. I'm in the pew and I'm going, holy hell, that's pretty awesome. Just for him saying, hey, your giants are gone. You're the giant. Now, what are you going to do with that? And so I saw him after the service. We're outside and we're just pounding around. And I go, that was pretty freaking, Father. And he goes, thanks. And he's about our age, I think. He might be a little bit younger. In fact, his sister was a classmate of ours. So there's some familiarity there. But I go, so the next step is mentoring. He goes, yeah. I go, man. I said, I like that. So that's something I take back. I absorb that and take it back to the shop and I think about, okay, I'm the giant. So now I'm even more like, I don't know if the word's confidence or whatever the case might be. I go back with a bigger, bolder chest a little bit. I'm the giant now, not in a negative way, but now I'm mentoring. Now I know what a role is. It's just something that when you're learning and you're listening and you're understanding, these things come at you like that. And if you're quick enough to receive it, if you're a good receptor, then wow, a lot of things can go on. And I don't mean to be preacher or nothing like that, but I'm just saying that it's a fascinating level to get to. And I know that most of our peers and most of my colleagues are there. And I just, I'm here discussing with you because that's what our show was about.
Yeah. Great story. Thank you for sharing the whole thing. The terminality of life is pretty prevalent when people around you start passing. Thank you for being here. By the way, 30 episodes.
I didn't know it was that many.
Holy 30 smokes. Episodes, because you never say no when I call you.
I don't. I know. I usually
find something that works, which is why I love to have you on, because you give great podcasts. Thank you very much.
Well, it's my pleasure as always. And I love our profession to no end. I love it. I've been doing it since I've been 8 years old, and there's not one person I've never disliked. You know, I've always liked, and it's amazing. We are so good at what we do, and the people in it are, I mean, when you talk about heart on a sleeve, my gosh, we're totally exposed every day of our life. I just think now that our value is being recognized more and more, which is great. I think we have a great future. And I go back to this. I think the giants are really starting to show their colors so that, you know, they leave a legacy, which is awesome.
Honest to God. Thanks, Greg Buckley, Buckley's Auto Care, Wilmington, Delaware. Thanks, bud.
All right, man. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.